evil spirits have to be subject to you and me as Christians. Why do we let the devil get by with so much? Why do we let him make us sick? Because we don't know. We don't know what belongs to us. Then he says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Well, after I met Larry Gooch that day and he cussed me out and everything else, and I told him, I said, you don't have no choice. You're going to get saved. And so the next morning on the way to work, I said, Satan, I first of all caught myself up to the throne of grace. According to Hebrews 4:60, I'm driving down the road in my truck, but I'm in the throne of heaven. I'm bold as a lion up there driving down a truck, going on the road, going to work. I said, after I got up there and praised God for a few minutes, worshiped and praised the King, I said, now, Satan, I demand that you come right over here and sit down that seat. I got a word for you from the Lord. Somebody says, man, you're talking to the devil like you got power and authority over him. Well, maybe I'm just naive enough to believe that God's word means what it says. Is that what it said? How much power did it say I had over that beast? So why should I be afraid of that beast if I got all power over him? Girl, right. I ain't going to be afraid of him, right? I said, you devil of hell, sit down right there. I got a word for you. I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, I am demanding that you get your blinders off of Larry Gooch. I said, that man's lost. You've blinded his eyes and he's headed for hell, but I ain't going to let you have him. I said, now in Jesus' mighty name, you have to be subject to me. You have to obey me. So I demand that you withdraw all your wicked demons off of Larry Gooch and get away from his life and leave him alone in the name of Jesus. I said, now, Father, you said clearly in your word that nobody comes into the kingdom except to be drawn by the Holy Ghost. I said, you move on the hearts of men. You move on the hearts of men according to our prayers. So I'm asking you to move on Larry's heart. I'm asking you to begin to convict that man of sin, bring him into the kingdom of God and gloriously save him. I said, now, Lord, if I can be the laborer that can bring him to Christ, use me. But if I'm not the right one, then you put the right one in his path so that Larry Gooch gets saved. I claim that man's spirit, soul, and body for you, service under your kingdom forever in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. I said, now, devil, you can go. Somebody says, my lands, how much power do we have over that devil? Why should we be afraid of the devil? Who does he have to be subject to? Us, the children of God. Now then, the only time the devil don't have to obey you, if you got sin in your life. If you got sin in your life, he loves it. You tell him to go somewhere, he's going to hurt you because he's got legal right to you. He ain't going to obey you if you're living in some kind of sin. You're lying to somebody. You're stealing from somebody. You're messing around with somebody you ain't supposed to be messing with. You're doing things that's not according to God's word. You start trying to tell the devil what to do, he's going to hurt you because he has legal right to you. You're walking in unforgiveness towards someone. Hey, I mean, the devil's going to hurt you. So all you got to do is obey God. Walk in obedience to his word. Well, it wasn't just a little while, this man that cussed me out. After I did that, every day for a couple of weeks. I mean, I just got bold with that devil. I got bold with my Heavenly Father. Did he tell me to come boldly into the throne of grace? Is that what he said? So why do you think he wants me to come in? Like a wimp? Oh, God, please, Lord, if it be your will you please save Larry? He said, no, I don't hear those kind of prayers. I want you to know what my will is. Then you come. I told you to come boldly in here. You're my son. Tell me what you want. Well, I come in boldly. How can I come in and be so bold? Because of the blood of my brother. Did he die for you and me? Oh, did he ever? He died for you and me. Yes, he did. So I can go in there bold as a lion. And about 2 weeks later, Larry walked into my office one morning, drinking a cup of coffee. I was there real early, about 5 o'clock, or 4 or 5 o'clock. I was working on a computer program I was trying to get ready. He walked in and said, hey, Thurman, can I sit here and drink my coffee with you while you're working on that computer program? I said, sure, sit down. We talked a little while, and he said, by the way, where do you go to church? I said, I go to First Baptist Church in Justin. Now, this is a guy that wants nothing to do with religion. You know, this is a guy that wouldn't even talk about it. A guy cussed me out as soon as I said, are you a Christian? All of a sudden, he's asking me, where do you go to church? I said, oh, First Baptist Church in Justin. He said, what do you think about so-and-so? He named a preacher here in town that had got caught stealing money out of the church. And I said, well, you know, he's a human being. You know, he made a mistake. You know, so I said, but, you know, God, he's big enough to handle his kids. Well, what about this other preacher who got caught, you know, sleeping around with some other women? I said, he's a man, too. You know, I said, but God's big enough to take care of his preachers. He said, well, don't you think that people just preach God's word just so they can make a lot of money? Oh, I told him, I said, you know, I said, it's amazing how the devil deceives us. I said, you know, it costs money to do everything. I don't care if you're preaching the word, teaching the word. Or I said, in the company we work for, they have to have money. I said, it costs money. We got to pay your salary, my salary. I said, it costs money to do things. I said, you know, the devil will tell you, now don't go down to that church because all that preacher is going to want your money. I said, if you listen to that lie, I said, then you'll live your life and you'll never come to know Jesus and you'll die and go to hell. And I said, when you're in hell, then that devil will come up to you and say, you fool. The price of your salvation was paid. It was free. And I deceived you and I kept you from learning it. Now you're going to spend eternity in this godless hell with me. And when I said that, he almost knocked off his coffee and he jumped up. When he jumped up, he said, I've heard that voice. I said, you have. He said, I ain't going to hell. I said, well, you are if you don't change your way. He said, Thurman, what do I have to do not to go to hell? I said, you have to make Jesus Lord of your life. It's real simple. And what do I need to do? I said, well, you're getting ready to go home this morning. You get off at 6 o'clock. I said, go by Walmart or somewhere and buy you a Bible. I said, get you a New Living Translation or something that you can read, something that's easy to read, and then read it. And I said, start with the book of Matthew and read through it. And I said, when you got questions that you don't understand, come see me, and I'll try my best to help you with it. Over the next few weeks, he called several times, and one day he came back and said, you know, I've run into this thing here about Romans 10, 8 and 9. For the Word says that if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart Father raised him from the dead, I will be saved. He said, Thurman, it can't be that easy. I said, it is that easy. He said, well, I want to get saved. So I got him saved. Accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. A year later, his wife, she came to see me one day. She says, Pastor, I wasn't a pastor then. I was an engineer. He said, what you did for my husband? He's a totally different man. He's not even the same man. He said, I just can't believe that I lived with this guy all these years and he was so mean and now he's so good. Now see, God can change a heart. You have to learn how to pray. See, I'm telling you, you're here for a reason today. You know, you're here for a reason. You're here to learn how to pray. And I'm going to teach you how before you leave, or I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you, with you, before you leave, and God's going to change your husband. I guarantee he will. You will get a new husband. But everybody needs to know these scriptures, do we not? If you know these scriptures and they're in your heart and you believe them, what kind of power did our Heavenly Father give us in the name of Jesus? All power. So if we got all power and we can go to the throne of grace and he'll change. I'll just give you an example, young lady. Haven't been a dog lover. My wife had a little dog when we got married and her little dog died and had a heart attack. And so she didn't even talk about another dog for 2 or 3 months. And then one day she comes and said, I think I want another dog. I said, absolutely no dog. I don't like a dog. I don't want one. I ain't going to have one in the house. You know, I said, the only reason the other one was here because she was grandfathered in. She was here before I came. And so I said, but no more dogs. Well, she said, okay. So she got a couple of girls here, and they took Hebrews 4:16 and they went to the throne of grace and jumped up in Daddy's lap. Do you see where I'm going here? They jumped up in Daddy's lap and said, Dad, in the name of Jesus, I want a dog. Now, my husband, he don't like dogs, so I'm asking you to move on his heart and soften his heart, or he will let me have a dog. Now, they didn't bug me, because if she could ask me the rest of her life, and guess what I'd have said? And I said, that's exactly right. No dog. What did you not understand when I said no dogs? That's what I mean, no dogs. See, that's us old hard-nosed guys. Is that the way we are, brother? I know, sometimes, at least you're truthful, right? That's the way we are, sometimes. And so she didn't, one day, about 2 or 3 weeks later, she said, well, honey, has the Lord spoken to you yet? I said, about what? She said, about my dog. I said, yeah, she said, about Lily Scrivener. I said, who's Lily Scrivener? She said, my new dog. I said, no, he hasn't. I said, and if he does, the answer is still no. You can't see, he hadn't moved to my heart yet. So they pray again. Oh, you didn't pray more? You just praised him and worshiped him, huh? Okay, so they just praised and worshiped him. So then, once more, I don't know, maybe it wasn't. Anyway, on a Saturday night, a week or two later, I was here studying, getting ready for Sunday, and I was in there about 9 o'clock. All of a sudden, the Lord began to work on my heart about her dog. And I'm thinking, God, why am I thinking about this stupid dog? I don't like dogs. And so he's putting this on my heart. Now, son, I made that dog. Your wife loves dogs, and I made that dog. And so why should you withhold something from her? Yeah, you don't like dogs, but she does. So why should you withhold something good from your wife? You love her. I gave her to you. So anyway, about 1 o'clock, I'm so confounded, confused. I just said, okay, God, I just close up everything, my Bible, and I just quit. I go in, I go to take a shower and go to bed. Cheryl comes to bed. She said, well, we'll lay there for about 30 minutes. She says, has the Lord spoken to you yet? I said, about what? She said, my dog. I said, yes, he's spoken to me. She said, well, I said, you can have her. Oh, she said, good. So she gets up, runs, said, I want to show you a picture of her. I said, you mean you've already found her? She said, yes, I already found her. Does that sound like faith? Yeah. She went in and printed off a picture of her. Little tiny black thing, weighed about 1.5 pounds. I mean, just a little bitty tiny thing. And she said, Monday I'm going to go get her then. That was Saturday night. So Monday, her and Pat went over and picked up this little tiny black dog. Now she now weighs about 5 pounds. She's just about full grown now. But she's a little bitty thing. But she has really been something running around the miniature center here. She's just a wiggliest thing you ever seen. And even Dave and I have liked her. So when Dave and I both like her, God's got to move on all of our heart, I'll tell you for sure. But do you see what we can do if we take the Word of God and we do it God's way? Now, who's the heart? It said the king's heart, but that literally means man's heart. That's yours, mine, female, male, everybody's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And he's going to direct your heart some direction. Which way? However somebody prays. You see where I'm coming from? What did he do with Larry Gooch? Larry's heart had been directed away from God because nobody had prayed for him.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Learn How to Pray and Change Anyone, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.